Y'all better not come to my studio with that fake shit. Y'all better not come to my funeral with that fake shit. Y'all better off realizing there's nothing that y'all could do with me. All I ever ask is keep it 8 more than 92 with me. 100.
What up, though? Today is October 6th, 2016. It is Thursday night. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get this off to you guys because it's hard. It's very, very hard for me to find people that are reporters, that are media, analysts, whatever you want to call them, to come on my podcast and talk about some football with me. Part of the reason, obviously, is because of my polarizing personality. A lot of people are afraid to be linked to the G, such as me. It's all good. But I found somebody today. I found someone that was willing to come on and talk about 49ers and the Cardinals and this NFC West Thursday night battle. But before we get to that, I wanted to talk to you guys about a lot of stuff that's been going on around the NFL and the NBA since their season is kind of kicking off right now. And I want to start it off with Odell Beckham. This whole Odell Beckham situation that's going on. Most of you know about what happened last season with him and Josh Norman having like pretty much a fight on the field during the game, and the refs kind of let it get out of hand. And so, you know, obviously there's been a lot of Twitter back and forth between the two of them leading up into the season, and then they played against each other and it got a little out of hand. Odell kind of is showing his diva, and I'm not really sure why so many people are so shocked that he's a diva. I mean, the NFL created this diva. You know, they put him up on this pedestal, not saying he's not a talented player, but they put him on this untouchable pedestal. They allowed him to get away with a lot of physical contact, not just the Norman situation. There have been other situations where he's done some things that have kind of gone unnoticed, but now we're seeing it like closer. Now we're starting to cover it. You know, the NFL always tells you these things about how they don't want this. They don't want this in their league. They don't want this happening and that. They don't want you celebrating touchdowns. They're going to fine you. But they replay it over and over and over every single time someone does a touchdown dance. They tell you that, you know, they won't allow this hitting and fighting and all this stuff in the league, but they allow it. They allow it all the time. So last week we saw the game. We saw Odell Beckham and Rhodes, I believe is his last name. They had one little incident in the beginning and, you know, the ref let it go. And then there was a late hit on the sideline to Odell and he didn't handle it well. And he kind of ran up in the guy's face and then he got the flag. So that right there, boom, here's the flag. Now they have this rule. If you get two of these unsportsmanlike flags, you're kicked out of the game. So here is an opportunity for Odell to show us who he really is. If you think he's crazy, then you know he would have gotten a second flag. But he didn't. He never got a second flag. That shows you that he's only doing what the league is going to allow him to do. If you allow him to do this crazy behavior and hitting people and all these antics on the sidelines and screaming and kicking and all these five heartbeats, spin moves and shit, fucking hitting the ball net thing. And it's just, Odell's not crazy, you guys. He's not crazy. You saw he never got that second flag. And you know, crazy people can't handle getting those second flags. They really don't have the capability to stop themselves from doing stupid things. And as you see, he did not get that second flag. And that tells you right there that Odell's not crazy. He's not. He might be stupid. He might do stupid things, but he's not crazy. And so why I was so offended afterwards is because I was actually proud of him for not getting that second flag. I was one of the people on the side of Odell is not going to be doing anything stupid once he got that flag. And a lot of people were like, oh, you don't know him. He's a diva. He's this, he's that. But he never did anything else after that. And then what happens next? Now we're in the locker room talking to all his teammates and they're kind of like on the media side saying things like, yeah, he's got to stop doing this and he's got to stop doing that. And yeah, this behavior is unacceptable because, you know, we got to lose this. We got to focus and you can't have distractions. And first of all, I played sports my entire life and I played professional sports. What I've learned being in a locker room with other pros is no matter what's going on outside the locker room, you guys as a unit have to stay together. You always have to really focus on the fact that everybody outside your locker room, whether you like what your player, your teammate is doing or not, everyone outside the locker room is the enemy. So you never give them anything. If you have a beef with Odell, you approach him in-house, in private, you know, amongst yourselves, and you go out into the media and you pretend everything is right, just like the rest of the league. You pretend you all support everything he does. You pretend it is not bothering you, whether it is or isn't. You just go on with that. You never let your teammate feel like he's isolated or like you don't support him, because that divides the locker room. No, there's 53 people in this locker room. All the personalities are not going to clash. They're not going to mesh. Some are going to clash. And you accept that, but you never go to the outside and you point out things that may be annoying to me, you, or maybe annoying to your team and things like that. You have to stay on a united front. So I'm extremely disappointed in some of the media covers I've seen from some of the players on the Giants roster. Like, stand by him. He's the best player on your team. You don't have anybody else. And everybody's calling for him to be benched. Why? Why would you want him benched? He hasn't done anything this season. You can't judge him from last season. He got one flag in the game Sunday, and he didn't get any more. So why does he need to be benched? I don't understand. There's so many other personalities in this league, but you guys are jumping down his throat when you used to applaud all his crazy antics and his wild behavior before. Everybody just loved it. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, since the media has turned on him, then we're all going to turn on him. No, that's bullshit to me. That's pure bullshit to me. And I feel like this team needs to understand that you have to stand by him now. You guys have been a part of this whole thing. If you haven't said anything before, you need to not say anything now and stand as a united front. So tisk, tisk, tisk to the fucking Giants team. You guys, just support your teammate, man. Support him. That's all I really have to say about that topic, because it's annoying to me to see people divided in such a team-driven sport. Everyone's It doesn't work if the whole team isn't working as one unit. And one guy being mad at another guy is stupid. Just get over it. Let the referees settle all the BS and all that stuff. And everybody focus. Because you know what? Everybody's got to pay their check. Everybody's got to pay their bill. Excuse me. You all have to pay bills. You all have to get out there and play. If you make him feel like he's unwanted or he's annoying you, maybe he doesn't play so well. Maybe you guys don't play so well. Maybe you don't win games. Then what? So you might as well be, you know, a united front. You know what I'm saying? So support. I support. I try to support all the players, to be honest with you. I mean, sometimes they can't be supported, but this is definitely one of the times that I feel like that a player should be supported, even though he's done some dumb things in the past. What else did I want to talk to you guys about? Oh, people are still kneeling, in case you were wondering. Everyone's still kneeling. There's still fists in the air. There's still a lot of protests going on, and I'm proud of it. I know a lot of these players are putting everything on the line, and they're losing endorsements. You know, they could possibly lose a contract when the season's over for doing some of these things. So shout out to all the players that are still kneeling, still supporting the movement, because it's not over. And I'm hearing about all these things, how Donald Trump, who I've never wanted to talk about him on my podcast. I really don't. I'm not going to do it now either, but I have to bring up his stupid ass name. But apparently Donald Trump is dividing a lot of NFL locker rooms right now, because there are people that are saying out loud, I'm going to vote for Trump. And they think that he really is going to make America great. And they think that his strategy, whatever it is, I still don't know what it is, to make America great, is going to work. Then you have people in the locker room that are non-white, who think Donald Trump is a racist, and they have every right to believe that because of the things that he said. And so when you look at your teammate right next to you, your brother, who you're supposed to be going in the trenches with to fight with, it makes people feel a certain type of way knowing that you are openly supporting a racist. Yeah, he's a racist, okay? And so I really want this election to be over with, because I really don't believe Donald Trump's going to win. I want it to be over with because I do feel like there's a lot of awkward discussions happening in locker rooms, and people are always saying how Kaepernick shouldn't kneel and players shouldn't kneel because of protest of things that are happening off the field. Well, why do the media get to ask questions like, who are you voting for? Do you support Hillary or Trump? Those aren't things that have anything to do with X's and O's of football, but they're still being asked in the locker room. They're still being asked on sidelines. So to me, the media is, of course, the devil in all of this. They want these issues. They want these distractions in the locker room. They want to point out, hey, your teammate over here is voting for Trump. He thinks Trump is good. Well, do you think Trump is good? Like, this is the bullshit that they're doing in the locker rooms. And a lot of players are looking at their teammates, and it's very easy to see that the majority of the people voting for Trump are the white athletes. Like, that's crystal clear. But with 80, I think it's like 80% of the league is black. The majority of the black athletes in the league are voting for Hillary. So it would be very interesting to see if Donald Trump won the election. Do you guys think that? I think it would be interesting just so that people could see just how horrible of a person he is and just how horrible this country is for even voting for him. Like, I do not feel Hillary is anything special, trust me. But the thing that I do respect about Hillary is she keeps her racism tucked in. Like, she doesn't come out and say she's racist. She really doesn't. She says Black Lives Matter. She's going to do whatever and say whatever to win. Well, Donald Trump is basically like, no, I'm going to be myself, and you're going to be a racist and vote with me, or you're not. So this election is really going to be interesting in how it plays out in NFL and NBA locker rooms if players are openly saying that they're supporting a racist. But then again, you know, the media will always find a way to spin it around so that it's always the player's fault. They're always the distraction. They're always, wait a minute, I got to go back on something too. Speaking of distractions, I just read that an anonymous two coaches of the Giants coaching staff came forward and said that if Odell has another outburst, that they're going to bench him. Let me tell you something about that word distractions, because if a player gets a DUI, if a player slaps his wife, if a player is late or, you know, is loud talking, is getting flags and all kind of stuff, the coaches and the media will say that this player is causing a distraction in their locker room. How is it fair that coaches can cause distractions in the locker room? How's that fair? Because if you hear an anonymous source, which is two coaches in your locker room, in your team, saying that if you do ABC, XYZ, you're going to get benched, how does that make you feel as a player? Like, that these men that are supposed to be supporting you and leading you every Sunday in this battle, because truly you could lose your life in this shit, and they are saying things like that to you, causing you to think things and worry and not feel supported. Those, they allow distractions from the coaches and the owners, who, when they put out news about a player that only they know, it's like, oh, well, it's cool to cause a distraction when it's for our benefit, when it's something we want to do. But if a player causes a distraction in a locker room, then it's like, you're going to cause us a win. You're going to cause other people not to be able to perform. Let me tell you something about paying motherfucking bills, okay? When you have to pay your bills, I don't give a damn what was going on in the person next to me's life. I promise you, I'm going to get my bills paid. That's just like me saying I'm working at Subway and I'm making sandwiches and shit, and the girl that's at the register is having some issues. She done beat up her boyfriend. She went to jail. That's not going to distract me from making these goddamn sandwiches and pay my bills on time. It really isn't. And it bothers me that people think somehow that athletes aren't able to separate real life from their job. This is a job. That's all it is. If you can go to work every day and hear the bullshit that your coworkers are saying that's going on in their life, and it's not distracting you from getting your job done, then why do you think athletes can't do it? They really can't. They're not as stupid as people may think they are. They are very capable of getting out there and doing their job regardless as to what's going on in somebody else's life. And to be honest with you, they couldn't care less. They really couldn't care less if you slapped your wife. I promise you, if Brent slapped me today, I guarantee you that the rest of that team will be able to go perform on Monday. I promise you. It doesn't do anything. And I'm really annoyed. That word distraction really does bother the shit out of me. It bothers me so much. I wanted you guys to hear something that Richard Sherman said. And I'm going to have my editor to, let me just have him play it right now. Let me just play this audio for you, Richard Sherman, and then I'll come back and discuss it with you guys.
You're going to get arthritis in your knees. You're going to probably have some stress in your back. Your ankles are going to crack and pop all the time. And it's just things that come with the territory, decisions and sacrifices that you knowingly make coming into this game. But the NFL really could care less. You know, it's hard to stress player safety in such a violent game, because at the end of the day, ratings sell, people want to buy tickets, people are going to come to games regardless. Now, does the league care when Cam Newton gets hit in the face, you know, five times and pretty much knocked out the game, and they have all these spotters and people that watch the game specifically for these reasons, and you see the guy on his hands and knees shaking his head after he just took a shot to the face, and they're saying they didn't see any indications that he needed to come out of the game. If you take the reigning MVP out of a game in the last couple minutes with the game on the line, he'd be frustrated, the fans would be frustrated, but it would be in line with what you said that you wanted to see in terms of player safety, but you didn't, because it would affect the ratings, because it would affect the game. They're a bottom line business. If you can increase their bottom line, then they'll love you. They'll do everything they can to put you out more, to market you, to make sure the fans buy your jersey, to put your jersey out, because it makes them more money. If you're not making them money, then at the end of the day, they're going to find somebody else. We really don't have reason to trust the NFL, and I don't think they mind either way. At the end of the day, they're going to do what they have to do to make their money and to make as much money as they can for the owners. And our union is going to do what they can to protect the interests of the players and the rights of the players and help them make as much money as possible. And that's the way it's always going to be. You know, I think sometimes the public gets confused by the league-player relationships, thinking that it needs to be amicable to work, and it doesn't. It's not going to be that way, because if you're a race car owner, you have to keep the car running. You have to keep the car running at a high level if you want to make money, if you want to win races, if you want to, you know, do the things that make you successful, that gain you notoriety. So I think the same is true in football. They have to do enough to keep the players in good enough shape to go out there and perform, you know. So that's to the degree they care. Once they don't have to deal with a player, once they don't, you know, a player isn't on their rosters, et cetera, then they don't care. That's the relationship we have with the league. You know, they're going to use us until our time is up, and then they're going to find somebody else. I think a majority of our players don't come from affluent backgrounds, so to them, this is destiny. This is their opportunity to change the stars, the ability to change their families' lives, to make sure their kids get a better shot at education. You know, maybe they're paying for their kids' college, buying their parents a house, or, you know, buying their siblings a house, or getting people in a better situation than they were in before. It's a short-term way to make a living, but you can make a lot of money in a short amount of time and changed your entire family's outlook. So I joined the union so that we can inform our players in a better way and make sure that our union is strong. And as our union gets stronger and as we get more informed, I think we're going to continue to move forward and make our game stronger and make the interests of the players more known so that the league doesn't abuse its power.
So basically what Richard Sherman is saying to you guys, and I hope you can hear this, is the NFL really truly does not care about these athletes. Like, they don't care. They care about making money. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I promise you, I'm not saying there's something wrong with making money. The problem that I have is that they don't actually say, I don't care about these athletes. I only want to make money. I've been telling you guys this for a very long time, especially with the Division I athletes that are drafted high. And I tell you how they make them the target of the fan base. They say, hey, this guy's the best. Buy his jersey. Support everything that he's selling. Hey, Odell Beckham, buy his jersey. Buy Head & Shoulders shampoo. Buy this Pepsi because he is the man. That's what they do. And the moment they don't have any way of capitalizing off of you, they dump you. And it looks like Odell might be getting dumped right now. It's like Odell has torn his drawers or something. The league may go into this whole, like, dump him, go find us another big-time receiver that we can prop up and make him the man. And the minute he's done giving us what we have, or the minute he screws up his opportunity, and we dump him and move on to the next. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but as a fan base, when you're hating on players when they're trying to gain as much money as they can, how do you feel about yourself? Do you ever get mad at the owners for doing whatever to get their money? Do you ever get mad when you see your top DN subbed out on a 3rd and 11 because the GM has just signaled down to the coach to sub him so that he doesn't get his bonuses in case he gets another sack? Does that ever bother you? Because if it doesn't, then you shouldn't be bothered by the way players go about making their money. So you see a player who may have hurt his knee or something, and he could very well play through this injury. But if he does, he's at risk of injuring it even worse while rolling into a contract offseason. Why do fans hate on him for that? Why would you want him to blow his knee out for an organization that's going to dump him the minute the knee is blown out? It's not like these players are getting injured and these things are happening and then the owners are still saying, you know what? You fucking fought your ass off. You put your life on the line for me. I'm still going to give you this contract because you deserve it. No, that's not happening. So you guys really should just chill out and relax on coming at the players for doing what's best for them. This is a small window of opportunity for them to capitalize. There is, if you work at Sam's Club, there's a Costco, there's all these other places that you can go to have this same type of work. If you have spent your entire life being a professional football player, where else are you going to go if you get kicked out of this league? What can you do? You can't go to the lower NFL. There's no lower. You have an average of 4 years to be successful in the NFL. And then most of these players didn't graduate. They don't have a plan B. They spent their entire life training and studying to be a professional athlete. And this is it. This is it for them. So if they're out here doing everything that they can to capitalize, I don't understand why, as a fan base, what is your problem? What is your problem with them? You know, all these fans are like, oh, these little crybabies, they make millions of dollars to play a stupid game. Well, if it's so stupid, why does it run your life? Why do, when as soon as you wake up in the morning, you're checking the injury report, you're checking this, you're checking that, you know, your fantasy points, you're trading people, your whole life is consumed by this stupid little game that you're saying they shouldn't get millions of dollars to play? Well, why shouldn't they? If it's consuming so many people's lives, if everybody could do it, they wouldn't have this job. It's like a cop. Anybody could be a cop. Anybody. If you could be just an average man can be a cop, and it would take you about 6 weeks to get your gun and your badge, and you could be killing somebody in 6 weeks. That's why they don't make any money. The military, who I have absolute respect for, but I do not support our military because of what we do. We just really send young people over there to die. That's really what we do. And we don't pay them much. We don't give them much. When they come back and they have this PTSD, we don't care. They don't even have people picking up the phone on the hotlines for these people that are having these issues. They don't have jobs set up for them. They don't have medical. It's a whole bunch of shit. But that's why they don't get anything, because everybody can do it. Teachers. I was just talking to my son about this. Teachers. It's very easy to be a teacher. Doesn't pay much. There's so many of them, and you need so many of them. You need a lot of teachers. You need a lot of military. You need a lot of cops. There's not a whole need for football. There's only a certain amount of spots. And so when these people have trained and worked their ass off to get here, the reward is the money. That's the reward. You have worked your ass off your whole life to do something a lot of people cannot do. They can't, just flat out, you don't have the talent. You just don't have it. So I would encourage you guys to please just chill sometimes. Just be a fan and observe some stuff and see what's going on, and stop being such a fucking hater about everything the athletes are doing. Like, it's really not that serious. Like, the fan, it just seems like social media has really turned the fans into such assholes. And then you guys come at the players all the time and attacking them if they don't play well. Like what is the issue? What is the issue? Is it just jealousy? Is that you're mad that you're not able to do the things that they're able to do? Because that's all it comes off as. It comes off as like butthurt men that are jealous because they can't do what these guys are doing. And no one's coming to their job to watch them play anything or do anything at their job. No one's coming to your job to watch you build a house. They're just not. You could be a very, very good carpenter. You could be a great contractor. No one's coming to watch you. That's why no one's paying you millions of dollars. So just chill on the hate, all right? Just chill on the NFL hate and just professional athlete hate overall, because it really needs to stop. And I really truly feel like if the fans weren't so against the players, that it would actually make them more real to you guys, because they don't treat you like you think they treat you. They really do the bare minimum because of the way the fans treat them. They do the bare minimum. They smile, fake smile, do whatever the fuck they got to do to get on by and make you guys think that your day has been made, when in actuality it's just work for them. They're being forced to do this. They are absolutely being forced to say and do some of the things they're doing, knowing that the fan base, you know, will shit on them the minute things aren't going their way. Let me read something to you guys. I just heard about Jerry Jones. Went into the locker room before the Cowboys-Giants game, and he looked around. I'm reading something, by the way. He looked around at the young men and addressed them as a group. And this is quotes. "Regardless of your personal opinions, this is a sacred day that we recognize and sacrifice and pain that so many have endured. When the national anthem is played by a lone trumpet player in a few minutes, you will stand and you will put your hand over your heart." Jerry waited a second and made eye contact with several players to make sure his words had sunk in. He knew he had their undivided attention and proceeded. "You gentlemen are world-class athletes, but you are also actors. You perform on a stage that is 100 yards long. Today, you play the role of a patriotic superhero. You will play this role well because you know the millions of children will be watching and looking at your example." Then his inner fire started to shine through and he quietly said, "But most of all, I want you to remember you are the actors, but this is my stage and you will play the role that I tell you to play." So you see, even the owners know that the athletes, they're pretending to be patriotic. They're pretending to care about you guys. They're pretending that they're doing this all for the fan base, all for the organization. They are not. They are being forced to be patriotic. They're being forced to care about you guys. This is a job. Okay? There are some people that are saying, "Fuck you. You cannot force me to be patriotic. You cannot force me to be an actor in this play." And that's why I salute all those players that are doing this, because I know around the league that there is pressure from the owners and the GMs and the coaches for these players to stay in line and do what the fuck they're told. So if you don't like that, that's one thing. That's fine. If you think that this is about hating on the military, you're stupid. Okay? But for you to hate on someone for exercising their rights, for you to be okay with Jerry Jones taking someone's rights, you're full of it. You are part of the problem. Jerry Jones flat out told his team, "You will do what I say, even though it's your right." Imagine being a gun carrier, a licensed gun carrier like myself, and someone telling you, "Yes, I know it's your Second Amendment right to carry a firearm, but here you cannot do it. As long as I'm your boss, you cannot carry a firearm." Just imagine that. And then everybody's saying, "Well, why does he have to kneel during the national anthem? It's so disrespectful." Well, when is he supposed to kneel? When they play it at the grocery store? When? That's the only opportunity that you have to say to someone, "I have a problem with this country." It has nothing to do with the military. It has a problem with this country, with oppression, with racism, police brutality. It's a problem. So when you go on hating on these athletes that are doing what's in their heart, risking their four-year window. Remember, I told you it's only a 4-year window for an NFL player. They're risking that A lot of them have nothing to fall back on. Nothing. They're risking it all to stand up for something. Why wouldn't you see that as a positive? Why wouldn't you see that and say, God damn, there must be some real fucked up shit going on in this world if these athletes are really willing to risk it all to get your attention. If that isn't bravery, I don't know what is. I truly don't know what it is. I don't know why you guys are having an issue with it. I don't know why we're even still talking about it being something to do with the military when it's clear that's not the issue. Everybody's falling off track of what's really going on here. And the bottom line is, it's about oppression. It's about racism. It's about police brutality. It's about our system. It's flawed. Our system dehumanizes black people. If you don't agree, you're dumb. Please educate yourself. We're being dehumanized, and there are a lot of people that are now with it. And I appreciate them. David West, one of the people I really appreciate, who spoke out about how dehumanizing the system is. He talked about how he was 9 years old and he witnessed his first murder by a police officer on his block. And a lot of you that don't grow up in the hoods, in the inner city, in the black community, you grew up your whole life never seeing anyone get murdered right in front of you. Do you know that a lot of black people have seen multiple murders right in their face before they even hit puberty? That does something to you. And you don't know that because it never happened to you. It's okay, but stop acting like you know what it's like to be us. Stop acting like you have an answer for us. Stop acting like what we're doing to try to fix our problems is not what you would do, because you don't have our problems. Okay? Joakim Noah declined an invitation to the U.S. Military Academy at West Point because he had his beliefs on war. He has issues with it. He feels like I feel. I'm against war. I don't even know when the last time we really went to war, like for a war, like, oh, we really have to fight some people. Just knock it off. Because all these other little Iraq, these Middle Eastern wars, this is us. We're doing this to people. We're going over there being nosy, stealing people's natural resources, killing babies, sending our young men over there to commit murder, and then bringing them back here to nothing. Okay? So he declined an invitation to this dinner, and Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Kasker was offended. He said that because Joakim Noah spoke about not coming, that made it inappropriate. I don't understand how you can say someone answering a question is inappropriate. The same thing happened to Kaepernick. He has been protesting peacefully and quietly for quite a long time now. Someone noticed it. A fan in the audience noticed it. Picture went viral. Media asked him what it was about. He spoke about it. Now he's the worst person in the world. Joakim Noah declined an invitation. Media asked him why he wasn't there. He spoke about it. Now he's inappropriate. He's disrespectful. How? If the media doesn't ask him the question, then he can't answer it. You would have never known his stance had the media not asked him. What do you want him to do, lie? You want him to say something that's not true? Like, what is he supposed to say? Was he supposed to wait for the next time he's invited to a dinner? Because the guy was saying something like it was a personal attack on West Point. No, it wasn't. He's not getting invited to military dinners every other week, okay? This was one that he was invited to and he declined because he doesn't agree with war. He doesn't agree with how the beliefs of war and how our military acts in other countries. Simple. That's your problem if you have an issue with someone taking a personal stance and having an opinion and a feeling about something. If people don't agree with stuff that's going on, they have a right to say, no, thank you. I would like to not stand and put my hand over your heart for your national anthem. No, thank you. I would like to decline a dinner to sit with the military and be so proud of our country and the way that we are over there attacking people for no reason. Like, what? That's just crazy to me that you want athletes to just shut up and play 1 minute, but then when the media asks them a question and if they don't answer it, then they get fined and they get treated, you know, a certain way. Like, you can't have it both ways. You really can't. They're athletes, but they're also human beings. They have feelings. Just because they make a lot of money, that doesn't mean they don't have feelings about things. They grew up in some of these communities where these things are happening. So they have feelings about it. And I feel like if the rest of America, majority white America, would somehow figure out a way to understand that, no, you cannot ever understand what it's like being black. But what you should be able to do is open your eyes and see that there are problems. There are issues. And you should stand with these black athletes and say, you know what? I don't know what it's like to be you, but it's clearly a problem if you're willing to do all the things that you're doing to stand up for it. And if we all as a group got together, then maybe then we can talk about fixing the problems in an organic way. Because right now, the people that are against some of the things that are happening are the problem. You are the problem. Okay? Anyway, guess who didn't have a problem? Me. I didn't have a problem getting a guest today. Actually, I did. I'm lying. It was a little bit of a struggle. I had to go through three people. You know, it's game day, so most of the people that are covering the teams are there in the thick of things doing live radio, you know, talking to people right there on the spot. And here I am all the way in Tampa. It's freaking hurricane coming. Shout out to Hurricane Matthew, you piece of shit. You just stay off the land, stay in the water so that we can all flourish. But I did find someone to join me, Jennifer Chan. She's going to join me right now, so just hold on 1 second. So my guest for today is Jennifer Chan. She represents the San Francisco 49ers media group. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. So who do you, I know that we don't know each other. We were introduced by some friends. And so I wanted to get my audience to know who you are and who you write for and what your job title is.
So I'm one of the beat writers that covers the Niners. I write for SB Nation, and the Niners Nation blog for SB Nation is Niners Nation. So Niners Nation on Twitter, and I'm on Twitter at Jennifer Lee Chan.
Great. I told you before, I'm so excited that I have a female on here now to talk about some football. Some people just think we shouldn't talk about football, but we're going to do it anyway, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we've got this big matchup today, San Fran versus Arizona, and both of them are kind of third and fourth in the NFC West, so this is like a battle for the bottom, pretty much. And so I wanted
it
to
definitely is
the battle to not be at the bottom for both teams. And so coming into the season, everybody had Arizona, you know, definitely going to the playoffs and possibly going to the Super Bowl. And now seeing them 1-3 facing San Francisco, who's 1-3. How do you think that they got to this position?
Well, I think both teams are dealing with the injury bug for sure. I mean, the Niners are just decimated. Losing Ian Williams at nose tackle has been a huge loss. Obviously, Navarro Bowman out for the year. And DeForest Buckner, I believe, will be out for longer than just today. He was in a walking boot with crutches after the game on Sunday. And they're kind of playing it down, but I really think he's going to be out for a few weeks at least.
So the injury bug is hurting the teams the most, you're saying?
Exactly. And, you know, Carson Palmer's not playing. He hasn't been playing great, but he's not playing for Arizona. Chris Johnson's on IR. I mean, both teams, you know, there's so much luck involved in staying healthy to get to the postseason in the NFL. It's just, you know, you've seen so many quarterbacks having issues with your camp. Newton's obviously out with a concussion. It's just the luck of trying to keep your team healthy really makes a huge difference.
Right, so both of these teams have this injury bug biting them so hardly, and here we are coming off of a Sunday game, rolling into a, you only had three days to prepare for this game. How do you see that this short turnaround affecting both teams?
I mean, at least, you know, they both played on Sunday and they're both playing on Thursday, so it's even. Unlike, I think it was week two for the Niners, where Carolina played on Thursday before and didn't have to play until the next Sunday, and the Niners had a quick turnaround. So at least the playing field's even. Both are dealing with injury bug. Kind of evens the playing field out a little bit.
That's very true. So Blaine Gabbert, he's been playing pretty decent. There's a lot of people that have been calling for Kaepernick, but why do you think that he hasn't been benched? Why do you feel Chip Kelly is still holding on to him as the starting quarterback?
Well, I think part of it is truthful. Kaepernick is a little lighter than he has been at his peak. He's about 10 pounds lighter than he was with his mobility and the way he can get hit. He definitely wants to have him be a solid 225 or so before he takes the starting position. I knew they weren't going to start him on tonight after a short weekend. You know, last year was that horrible game against Arizona where he threw, I think, four picks. Yeah, I mean, everybody has a little PTSD from that game. So I knew they would put him in for Thursday, but maybe after the bye week. Gabbert is just so wildly inconsistent, though. I mean, he's had great passes, the one where he threw to Garrett Celek in tight coverage, and then the next one he skips off the ground. You know, he's got moments where you think, okay, that's the guy you want leading the team, and then he has other moments where, you know, he throws a pick into the end zone, and it, you know, it was a surefire touchdown to Torrey Smith at the end of the game.
Yeah, I can sense some of the bipolarness from, you know, I'm not able to watch every game. I do have access to all the film, but I did notice that some of the reports were that he's 32nd in passing, but he's 40% on third down. So that is a little bipolar, because most times if they're not doing well in passing, they don't usually do well in third downs. And for this league, 40% on third down is actually a pretty good stat. So, you know, there is some positive sides to that. And then you guys have Carlos Hyde, who's has five touchdowns so far, and how's he been playing so far?
He's been playing all right. His average per carry is about 4.1 yards, which is a little higher than last year. I think last year he was 3.9. You know, part of it, you know, when you're running back, you've got to have everybody working for you. So with the offensive line, if they aren't opening up gaps for him, you know, he's not able to get through. He also mentioned, I think after week three, he needs to be a little bit more patient in the backfield. He needs to wait for the play to develop before running through. And I think part of it is, you know, his enthusiasm and excitement to get going and to start running. He needs to just let the line take care of its job and let it develop a little bit more. So I know that's something he's been working on.
Wow, that's good, because, you know, the Arizona Cardinals, they have a pretty good defense. And so I know that they have a lot of turnovers. My husband plays for the Bucks. They killed us, the turnovers and all these things. How do you anticipate the 49ers getting around this defense that's second with turnovers so far?
I mean, it's definitely, you know, kind of on Blake Gabbert's shoulders not to cause turnovers. I mean, obviously, the running backs for the Niners have had a little bit of the fumbleitis, and so they need to hold on the ball, and Gabbert needs to make sure he doesn't turn over. It'll be an interesting matchup between Jeremy Curley and Tyrann Mathieu in the slot today. He's not going to be playing deep safety. He's going to be playing in the slot today, is what I've heard. So it'll be him against Jeremy Curley. So it'll be interesting. Now, I wonder who's going to be covering Torrey Smith, you know, deep. So that might be an interesting matchup as well. So
right,
be some interesting matchups today, for sure.
Most of the teams, I believe, have been doubling Torrey just because he is the deep threat. And with this secondary being a pretty good secondary, and them having the Honey Badger coming in and guarding Curley, I do wonder, like, what they're going to do with that other side and how they're going to attack that. And one of their weaker corners on the Cardinals is Marcus Cooper, who hasn't been playing that well. So I'm wondering if you guys would do anything as far as changing up the position of the receivers to try to match up against him. You think anything like that will happen with Torrey?
I mean, that's definitely what Chip says. I mean, he plays for the matchup. So if someone doesn't go in, it's because of the matchup. Or if someone plays a lot, it is because of the matchup. So I believe he would definitely game plan for who's playing where.
Okay, cool. So what do you think of Drew Stanton starting in this game? This is a big game. You know, this is a divisional game. So, and it's on Thursday. Drew Stanton, he didn't play very well Sunday when he came in. But how do you guys anticipate the defense? Is there going to be any changes on defense to cover Drew Stanton versus Carson Palmer?
You know, I think it'll be interesting. I'm sure he'll play a little bit better today, being that he's had reps with the ones. So, I mean, when you come in after playing with, you know, scout team or with the twos, and you get thrown into a game, your play is going to be different than if you have played with the ones all week. With a short week, though, he probably hasn't, you know, they've done probably mostly walkthroughs, nothing too strenuous. So he'll probably, you know, be more prepared. Not that he wasn't prepared on Sunday, but I think you're always more mentally prepared when you know you're starting ahead of time.
Right. And they have David Johnson, who's leading the league in yards from scrimmage. He's got three touchdowns, 300 yards so far. You just mentioned before you guys lost Bowman. That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough on the defense, because they do have a running attack, a rushing attack. And I'm trying to I guess I'm trying to estimate and wage who has the upper hand in this game, because both sides have the injuries. One lost a linebacker. One has good rushing attack. One's good on third downs. What do you anticipate the outcome of this game being with these two wounded teams playing on a Thursday night short week so far?
it's just a mess going all in, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was talking to a couple of my colleagues, and it really kind of, it's kind of a toss-up, but both teams are, hurt. They're injured. The short weeks, neither one has a quarterback that's, completely proven. It really is, the playing field's really kind of even. I mean, after week two and week three, I've kind of gone into every game slightly pessimistic, which is kind of my approach to the season. I'm kind of a realist and a pessimist. So that's kind of my approach to the game always. But, who knows? This game, it could go either way at this point.
That's what it feels like. It's one of those games where you really have to just watch. Like, I think the San Fran's a 3.5 underdog for the game, but that's really not much, especially considering how both of these teams have been playing so far, very inconsistently with scoring. I know that San Fran seems to struggle coming out of the locker room, only scoring 3 points so far in all of their third quarter games. But like I said, anybody could really win this game. So who do you have winning? Who do you got? You got San Fran. You got Arizona.
I don't
you
actually make a pick ahead of time.
Oh, you don't? Come on,
no,
you have to give
me
no guess, no maybe, no. I think nothing.
No, it's a must. I mean, if the Niners win, it would be a huge, huge boost for their ego, for their confidence. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really need to get a win under their belt. I mean, if it goes, that's kind of more how I look at it. They mm-hmm. need this win. I think Arizona is confident. When Carson Palmer comes back, I think their confidence level is, they know what they have. I don't mm-hmm. think the Niners do. And it would just be, it's really important that they get another win under their belt soon. They've got kind of a week and a half off, and then they travel again to the East Coast to play Buffalo in about 10 days. So it would be really nice to go into this kind of a half a bye week mm-hmm. with a win under their belt.
Right. And in the beginning of the season, a couple of reporters were saying that the things that were happening with Kaepernick would maybe stall the team or divide them or cause some type of locker room issue. They came out in that first game 28-0 against the Rams, and since then have kind of stuttered. Do you see any difference in the locker room with these guys and with the whole protest and the things that are going on with Kaepernick?
No, not at all. I mean, I think those things are talked about off the field, out of the building, and then when they're in the building, they're really focused on football. The only thing that I see different is that I've been in the locker rooms after a loss, and there's mm-hmm. been three in a row, which have been difficult. So obviously, the locker room after week one was very excited very
yeah.
happy. And then, it's kind of gotten a little bit more quiet each week. So a win would really do them good.
I agree. I think both of these teams really want to win, but I think that the 49ers do need it the most because, like you said, they don't really have an identity and not really a set point of attack. Things are a little scattered. Do you anticipate an opportunity for Kaepernick to come in at all? Let's say things go really bad for Gabbert. Is that even in the spectrum? Like, is that even an option, or are we just sticking with Gabbert until Kaepernick is 100% healthy and got his weight up?
Yeah, I don't think there's any possibility that Gabbert gets pulled for play at this point.
Okay.
I think that, obviously, if he's hurt, Kaepernick will go in. I don't think there'll be a change until after the bye, if there is one. I really think they're going to stick with Gabbert and go with him. Kaepernick's got to put 10 pounds on. He looks even thinner. I mean, when he reported to training camp, he even said he looked like his high school self. So he definitely needs to, get a little mm-hmm. bit of weight on him. And, the thing is that we don't see what he does at practice. So
right. We
can watch the warm-ups and the calisthenics, and that's about it, position drills. But we really don't see how he practices. So we can't really judge whether he's ready or not. I mean, the coaches can. So we aren't privy to that information or seeing him play. So
go ahead.
Yeah, that kind of depends on the coaching staff.
I think I read somewhere that, he had changed his diet, that he was doing more of a vegan lifestyle, and I wonder if that's affecting his weight. We went through the same thing, but if you do it right, you know, you can still add on the pounds and keep the protein high with the vegetables and all that stuff. So if he needs any help, I'm available, because I've just turned my husband into a vegan, so, and his weight is just fine. So I'm hoping that's not the issue. Maybe it's just stress. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's just one of those high metabolism guys, and he is vegan, so it may be part of the reason why he's not as heavy as he was before.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, obviously you can keep weight on and put good weight on being vegan, but I think he's just, his metabolism is so high that it makes it more difficult.
Right. Okay, well, Jennifer, thank you so much for joining me. I know that you are busy today. You are running around. So this quick 15 minutes you gave me really is appreciated. And I hope that maybe one day we can join each other again.
Sounds good. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good game.
You too. Bye-bye. So that was Jennifer Chan, who just joined me from the 49ers, NinersNation.com and NFLFemale.com. And, you know, I always love when I can get a female on here to talk to me about football, because, of course, we're not supposed to be talking about this kind of stuff. We're supposed to be talking about cooking and doing hair and makeup and all those things. So shout out to Jennifer for being one of the women that are holding it down for us females in this male-dominated field, especially with football. You know, you find a lot more reporters in other sports that are female, but football is it's a little touchy one. So shout out to Jennifer for joining me. I want to make a prediction, because that's just what I do. And right or wrong, who cares? I'm going to make the prediction. It's tough for me to say this, but I really do believe that Arizona is going to win the game. And mostly because of the fact that they have this really good defense that is pretty dominant. And Blaine Gabbert just really isn't showing me that he's ready to go up against a tough defense and get a win. You know, they lost to the Panthers, they lost to the Seahawks, and then they lost to the Cowboys, who, you know, their defense isn't amazing, but you have to sometimes come in and beat some of these teams with a dominant defense. And Gabbert, well, you know, let me take that back, because they did beat the Rams week one, but that was a weird game. But there's a lot of high energy for San Fran and a lot of support for their teammate Kaepernick, who was kneeling, and you know, a lot of emotions on that Monday night game. So I think I'm going to go with Arizona on this game. They've got the best receivers. I'm not going to say Stanton's better than Gabbert. They're kind of the same, if you ask me. But they do have a better receiving core, and San Fran does not have the better defense. So I'm going to go with Arizona getting their second win of the season and coming out of this slump, even though they don't have their quarterback. And I'm score prediction, Jesus, I don't know. I'm going to go with 24-18, 18-24, somewhere around there. I don't see either of these teams scoring more than 24 points, quite simply because of the quarterback play may be a little anemic. So 24-18, Arizona win, Thursday night football. Who knows? You guys got to check me out after the game to see if I'm right. Let me know what you think about my podcast as well on Twitter. I accept all criticism and questions and helpful, incisive things that you would like for me to change about the podcast. Monday I will be on again. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to be talking about, but one thing I will not be discussing is the Monday night matchup between the Bucks and the Panthers. And the reason for that is, of course, if you're new to my podcast, I don't analyze the Bucks. I just really think that this is a year that I really need to remove myself from any of the discussions of my husband's team, since people seem to think that it causes an issue when I talk about things that are going on, as opposed to the rest of the league who covers the team. But, you know, either way, I'm not going to analyze it. I'm still going to try my best to get out a podcast for you guys, even though I'm going to be on the road in Carolina. I'll do my best. And if it doesn't happen on Monday, then I will see you guys again, hopefully next Thursday. Peace.